This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The situation in Iraq is perilous and deteriorating. The nation that the United States invaded in 2003 and then occupied and then turned over to a hand-picked government, that nation is again in a desperate struggle. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, blitzkrieged through the western part of Iraq with brutal executions, pulling apart of what remained of the nation. How did we get here? What about all the blood and treasure that the U.S. invested in Iraq? It seems so long ago when in 2003, President George W. Bush stood on a flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln under the Mission Accomplished banner.
My fellow Americans, major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed. Because of you, the tyrant has fallen and Iraq is free.
Bush never said mission accomplished, but that banner was hanging up right behind his head as he gave that speech. And it really was a premature victory speech.
And that was Thomas Ricks speaking after President Bush. He's the author of the book Fiasco. So what does the future hold for Iraq and what does it mean for the United States? If you have questions or comments about Iraq, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. PBS's documentary series Frontline delves into the recent history in Iraq and lays out a timeline of events that led us to where we are today. Losing Iraq airs tomorrow at 9 p.m. on KLRN-TV here in San Antonio. Jim Gilmore is the award-winning producer of Losing Iraq. Jim, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thank you very much.
So what is the story that you are telling in Losing Iraq?
Well, our team over the past 10 years has done about six other films on Iraq. And so five weeks ago, the decision was we needed to do something to bring us up to date on where we were in Iraq after ISIS has marched through, as you said, western Iraq. So what was done is we created a 90-minute program. Half of it really coming from our archives of the programs we had done, and then the other half bringing the story up to date. The idea being that it would be helpful for our audience to sort of look back through the entire history, really from 2003 on, to have a better understanding of what has taken place to the point where, Ambassador Crocker in our film says what we've ended up with is sort of the dream of Osama bin Laden is that we've created a caliphate, an ISIS caliphate in Syria and Iraq with enormous power, with enormous military power, with enormous amount of money from black market oil and money that's been looted from banks. And with foreign volunteers flooding in from all over the world that at some point will go home. And so the idea is to better understand how we got to this point.
ISIS, it was described in your program as Al-Qaeda 6.0.
Yeah.
It is a threat.
What was amazing to me is when I got the chance to talk to three ambassadors, former ambassadors to Iraq, President Bush's NSA advisor, a lot of other, General Petraeus, who sat down with us. And it was amazing how the view of what has taken place is basically one of throwing up the hands in the air and sort of wondering how we could have arrived at this point, how bad it really is. It's a very, very dangerous situation. More dangerous probably than it was and certainly before we marched into Iraq in 2003. But what you've got is a much more powerful threat than Al-Qaeda ever was.
So in your documentary, the 90-minute program that will be on Frontline on Tuesday night, you really walk us through. We get the timeline. We invade Iraq. We start off with the toppling of the statue, that iconic moment, and everyone was so euphoric in just thinking, yes, now democracy will come or something good will come of it. But only hours later, didn't even take a full day, the looting started and the denials from the Pentagon that anything was wrong and the insurgency was off and running.
I mean, it really is a history of mistakes and ignorance about, you know, sort of what we had inherited. Once the military victory, quote-unquote, was achieved, where we thought we had things under control, it all sort of started to unravel, and it kept on unraveling, and then was brought back by 2007 and the surge, was brought back into control, but then started unraveling again soon after. So this is the major events that took place, both military events as well as the political events, and sort of the thinking that was going on both in the Bush and then the Obama administrations about what we should do, what we could do, and how it sort of evolved.
Right, and during the Bush administration, as the insurgency was getting started, there was certainly a sense of a bravo that we could take them on. Here's George W. Bush speaking about that.
There are some who feel like that if they attack us, that we may decide to leave prematurely. They don't understand what they're talking about if that's the case. Let me finish. There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on. We got the force necessary to deal with the security situation.
And that turned out not to be true. Jim?
Yeah, I mean, we just misunderstood. I mean, I think the people that got it right were the ones or before we invaded, were the ones that said, you know, if you invade, you're not going to be able to put all the pieces back together again. It is going to be an unbelievably impossible task. If you don't understand the divide between the Sunni and the Shia and the Kurds in that country, if you don't understand who wields power and why, you will fail. And it was just an impossible task that we took on. And it evolved that way. I mean, it's year after year, the intention was to get out. I mean, even Rumsfeld's belief early on was that we were going to go in and get out of there as quickly as possible. Ambassador Bremer, when he was the civilian American leader that went over there to try to pull things together, got in and got out as quickly as possible, basically, and when he left, he had to leave a few days earlier once the Constitution was passed and the new government had been formed in Iraq because of the fears that his plane would be brought down. I mean, it's been one event after another of optimistic beliefs gone awry.
And it didn't just end at the Bush administration. When the Obama administration comes in, the missteps continue, although they're more of neglect or optimism without foundation. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. If you want to join the conversation, if you've got a question or a comment about Losing Iraq, the documentary that airs tomorrow night on PBS KLRN in San Antonio at 9 p.m., give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got some diplomatic solution, how we can bring peace to the area, I would love to hear that. This is The Source on KSTX. We're going to be right back.
And to celebrate the moment, the president invited a special guest to the White House.
They had a joint press conference where he talked about this new democratic Iraq that was going to be built.
Today I'm proud to welcome Prime Minister Maliki, the elected leader of a sovereign, self-reliant, and democratic Iraq.
The Americans at this point have in effect embraced Maliki. He'd been very controversial for a lot of years, but to them he was going to be the person who was going to lead this new government into the future without American troops.
Mr. Prime Minister, as we end this war, and as Iraq faces its future, you have a strong and enduring partner in the United States of America. Thank you very much, everybody.
There was no public criticism of Maliki's sectarian maneuvers.
Maliki was becoming a problem. On the other hand, the president had taken the position. Iraq was a mistake. We've ended our war in Iraq. The country's on its own.
Now, for better or worse, President Obama, like his predecessor, was entrusting Iraq's future to Nouri al-Maliki.
And that is a clip from Losing Iraq, a Frontline program that airs tomorrow on PBS, KLRN here in San Antonio at 9 p.m. It really brings you up to date on how we got to where we are in Iraq today, which is really just a tremendous mess as ISIS roars through the western part of Iraq. It has taken over some major cities like Fallujah, Mosul, and it is tearing the country apart. With me on the line is Jim Gilmore. He is the producer of the documentary. So, Jim, Maliki, he seems to be the guy that set the conditions for ISIS to come in. What did he do?
Well, to begin, I think we got to have a little history of who Maliki is. I mean, in 2006, when everything was going awry in Iraq and sectarian violence was at a huge violent height, America was very involved in picking al-Maliki as someone who seemed to be a moderate, someone who had some powerful people behind him, and probably because we thought we could control him in ways. When Maliki came in, and this is 2006-2007, the surge was then ongoing, and the surge brought the violence down, and the sectarian violence did ebb. Maliki was very much involved with the politics. We were very involved in the politics that Maliki was head of. President Bush was having weekly teleconferences with him, and some people have told us he basically was teaching al-Maliki on how to the politics of how to achieve have leadership that was able to achieve the things that needed to be achieved, and so we backed Maliki early on, and to this day, until very recently, we've been the major supporter of him. But what happened after the surge was that we became hardwired into the political and the military systems over there. And when we pulled out in late 2011, we no longer had the leverage that was necessary to control things. And what happened with Maliki, as in the clip that we just heard, the president was praising so much before or as the troops were being pulled out, Maliki turned out to have a very sectarian side himself, and he started coming down very hard on the Sunnis, a relationship that we had created that was so important, a balance between the Sunni and the Shia, which we had achieved during the surge through the leadership of General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker, started to crumble. And we no longer had the leverage to push Maliki. And what eventually happened is we come up to a situation where when ISIS starts marching down through Iraq, one of the major partners or that had been a partner during the time that we were over there with the Sunni folks had decided they had given up on the Maliki government. And they would not stand with the Maliki government, and they sided with ISIS. And I think that's the core of the problems of why ISIS was able to achieve what they did and as fast as they were able to accomplish it.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation talking about where we are today with Iraq, how we got here, what the future looks like. The number is 210-614-8980. Our guest is Jim Gilmore. He's the producer of Losing Iraq, the producer of the documentary that airs on Frontline tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on KLRN. John has called in. Let's get John on the air. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. John, are you there?
Hello?
John.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that the idea that if we hadn't invaded Iraq, that today in 2014 there wouldn't be any sectarian strife or any of the issues over there is something of a fairy tale. Obviously, Saddam wasn't going to live forever. There wasn't that great of a succession plan, and a lot of these tensions were inside of the Ba'ath Party with or without the Americans coming to invade. And as we've seen all these other revolutions in the Middle East, it may be a situation where the U.S. invasion actually prevented something worse from happening. as to what would happen if we weren't there to help mediate over 10 years to something that resembled a functioning government, as opposed to if Saddam had just toppled because of a popular uprising inside that country and then splintering off into the factions.
Okay, John, interesting point of view. Jim, can you comment on the parallel universe where the United States did not invade Iraq?
Well, I mean, it's hard to know, you know, what the future would have held. But the reality is we really have a situation. This is the worst nightmare that we've got at this point. It really couldn't be much worse than ISIS having a caliphate throughout that region.
And it does have the United States fingerprints all over it.
And it does. I mean, the fact is we pulled apart that world. We pulled apart their armed forces, and we de-bathified it, and we then didn't take ownership. When we moved the troops out in 2011, a lot of people will say what we really needed to do was to remain longer in order to solidify the gains that we had achieved at that point. So, I mean, I would argue that I don't, you know, yes, it's always true that, you know, certainly Saddam Hussein would have died at some point, and certainly, you know, the next strong man might have been even worse in some ways or another. But, I mean, I think it's a hard one to argue, because when you look at the situation on the ground today, it's just such a miserable situation.
And we can only look at the events as they actually occurred, not as what could have happened, and, you know, had something not have happened. So.
It's always complicated, you know, as many of these veteran diplomats that we talk to define, that when you get involved with any nation and change their destinies, your fingerprints are all over it, and you need to take some responsibility for what happens.
We got an email from Robert Lee. He says the Bush administration didn't need to win a war. It just needed to keep a lid on it long enough to kick the can down the road to the next administration. It was an unnecessary war built around best-case scenario assertions. These types of conflicts are unwinnable. They make a few people really rich. War profiteering, plain and simple. And so there was some idea that going into Iraq would create a lot of oil.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we found, I mean, that there's always been that argument. I certainly don't think that was the reason we went there. I think there was a naivety about what we could accomplish. The fact that we attempted to democratize the region. I mean, you look at it now, and you have to almost laugh at the simplicity of that argument. The reality is it was a much more difficult task than we ever imagined, and it remains so today.
So let's talk a bit about the Obama administration and their hands-off policy for Iraq. And it was not Obama's problem. He wanted it to go away. And so once they pulled the troops out, it was, okay, Iraq, you're on your own. Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, what had happened, we have to remember that in 2008, the Bush administration had signed an agreement with Iraq that the troops would leave for the end of 2011. In many ways, the Obama administration took off where the Bush folk had left off and followed through in some ways. I think a big change, though, that occurred was there was always the assumption that once troops left, there would be an interim force that would remain behind. And the numbers went anywhere, you know, above 25,000 down. There was a big argument between the Defense Department and the White House to bring it down to like 10,000. The idea was that we would always have some input, we would have some leverage, we would have some ability to help the Iraqi forces in case of a situation like ISIS. And that agreement fell apart. And, you know, lo and behold, that was. And it's a very complicated story of Iranian pressure, Maliki's government and their attitude towards the United States, and America being fed up with the war. It ends. We leave, and we treat it as a victory. Troops leave there in December of 2011. And that sort of left open the door to a lot of what took place afterwards. And that a lot of people will say that, in fact, was the turning point, or one of the turning points, where when we lost leverage, when we lost even eyes on the ground to explain what was going on, when we allowed Maliki to do what he did soon after, which was take out a lot of the military leadership that we had been involved in putting into force, into leadership roles. These are, of course, the Maliki folks are the ones that sort of ran when ISIS came down, even though they had greater troop strength. That was sort of a huge turning point.
So how responsible would have been the Secretary of the State at the time, Hillary Clinton, for the ignoring of Iraq?
Well, I mean, I think the blame probably is spread pretty thickly. That it was an attitude in America. I remember Obama promised to end the war. We were moving in that direction anyway. We had been there for many, many years. We had lost we had spent $2 trillion. We had lost more than 4,400 men and women. More than 30,000 troops were wounded. I mean, America was pretty well fed up at that point as well. I think there is a point where one can argue that there was a misunderstanding of the fact that we needed to remain politically involved. We needed to remain somehow involved to have enough leverage so that we could help prevent a situation that occurred. There are many elements, many things that happened with what Maliki did after our troops left. Soon after our troops left, he started coming down on some of the Sunni leadership. And that unraveled, and some people will say, including Tom Ricks in our film, that the real tragedy and the reason that Iraq has fallen and as much as they have so far is not due only to ISIS, but is due to the fact that the Sunni insurgents, the Sunni folks that had a partnership with the Shia and Maliki and the United States in 2006, 2007, 2008, when that fell apart because of the actions of the Iraqi government, and then basically it allowed, it opened the door to ISIS.
Right, and the story continues. We'll see what happens next to Iraq, whether or not it'll split up into separate states. That's to be determined, but to get the background on it, tune into Losing Iraq tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on KLRN PBS Frontline. Jim Gilmore, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, David.
We'll come back after the NPR news break. This is The Source on KSTX.